Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Fairbanks woman has died from COVID-19. The State Department of Health and Social Services reports that the woman was in her 80s and had pre-existing medical conditions. She's the third Fairbanks North Star Borough resident and 19th Alaskan to die from the virus. The DHSS announced 94 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, 92 of which were Alaska residents. The cases spanned 15 communities, including 39 in Anchorage, 11 in the Valdez-Cordova census area, 9 in Fairbanks, 3 in the Yukon-Koyukuk census area, and 1 in North Pole. The pandemic-long Alaska resident case count is 2,132, and the non-resident tally is 487. There were 4 new hospitalizations reported yesterday, raising the number of those hospitalized with confirmed or suspected cases statewide to a new high of 34. During a press conference last night, State Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink said healthcare capacity remains in good shape, but that testing result turnaround is lagging due to the current case surge.
You know, for many Alaskans, this can be really frustrating to have to wait for your lab for many days. We're doing everything we possibly can to speed that up and get tests back out to people.
Zink said the state is also struggling to keep up with contact tracing.
So what we do is we are now prioritizing those who are at our long-term care facility, those who are at higher risk, and contacting them.
The state is trying to hire more contact tracers, and Dr. Zink urged Alaskans to keep track of their close contacts.
You cannot name all the people that you've seen in the last week. Your bubble's too big, so this is the time to pull back.
Alaska has the highest rate of COVID-19 transmission in the country, but Dr. Zink cautioned that the statistic is not an accurate indicator for large states with small populations like Alaska.
It works really well if you're in New York City and you have a lot of people in a dense space. It really doesn't work super well for us.
Dr. Zink says it's clear that people in their 20s and 30s are driving the current case spike and that the disease is being transmitted through close contact in a wide range of venues. Social distancing and masking remain the key preventative measures, and Governor Mike Dunleavy last night announced that as of today, face coverings are required at state buildings and facilities when social distancing isn't possible.
If you can't distance 6 feet or more, you should be wearing a face mask. We want you to wear a face mask.
Earlier this summer, Attorney General Kevin Clarkson challenged an Anchorage mask mandate's applicability to state facilities and workers. Dunleavy says the change in perspective reflects the current case spike. Asked repeatedly whether he will mandate masking statewide, the governor maintained such decisions are best made at the local level.
There'd have to be, I think, a real change in the nature of this virus and the infection for us to contemplate a statewide mandate on masks when some of our communities have never seen the virus.
Dunleavy called on Alaskans to reduce their public activity and interactions over the next 2 weeks to try to slow disease transmission. About 8,000 Alaska households have applied for rent or mortgage relief from pandemic-related economic trouble. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation took applications through the month of June and has started paying out grants to keep people in their homes. KUAC's Robin reports.
Interior Alaska landlords and banks will get about $750,000 in rent and mortgage payments in the next weeks. To keep Alaskans from becoming homeless during the COVID-19 pandemic, the State Housing Authority offered this one-time assistance. The funding for the program comes from $10 million of the $1.5 billion the state received in federal CARES Act funding. The program is run through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, AHFC. Stacey Barnes is a spokeswoman for the state agency.
The grants that are going out go directly to landlords and to the mortgage companies.
Barnes says the agency had a 2-week application period, but decided not to use a first-come, first-served approach because that doesn't always work for Alaska.
Where because of internet connectivity or someone might be out on a boat, they wouldn't have the ability to apply.
AHFC accepted the 8,000 applications, then randomized them. Each application is now being checked for eligibility. Families who have lost income due to the pandemic and are now at less than 80% of their area median income. AHFC staffers are working through that pile.
So we've started that process and we have started issuing checks, but we're also still in the verification stage. So about a quarter of the people have been contacted at this point. So we've got a significant number to go, but do intend to get the vast majority of those payments out before September 1st.
Combining the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Healy, Delta Junction, and Tok, there were 582 applications. AHFC plans to pay out all of them with about $699,000. But these are one-time payments, and most applicants will get about 1 month's worth of relief. It won't keep covering missed rent or mortgage payments.
For those who may have missed the opportunity on this, we're encouraging those Alaskans to call 211. They've got the best information right now about what else might be available in their community.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The State Department of Transportation aims to resume work to divert flood water from the rain-swollen Delta River from a mile-long stretch of the Old Richardson Highway near Big Delta. As KWC's Tim Ellis reports, some homes have been flooded and access has been cut off to others.
It's been nearly 2 weeks since the Delta River first jumped its banks and cut a new channel into a stretch of the Old Rich called Spangler Road. Now there's about a foot and a half of water flowing over the roadway and spreading out into nearby low-lying areas. And it's made life difficult for those who live in the dozen or so homes in the immediate area.
There's about 4 to 6 homes that are cut off, as you can see from the road, but there's also another half dozen homes that have flooding right up to their backyard, flooding through their property, causing property damage to them as well.
Delta Junction Fire Chief Tony White was patrolling the area Tuesday along with 3 firefighters from Fort Greely Fire Department to assess the damage.
Basement flooding, damage to outbuildings on their property and stuff like that.
A couple of those residences belong to John Carpenter, who, along with his family, had to evacuate back on July 10th as rising floodwaters tore through his driveway, cutting off access to his home and his sons, both of which are located next to an old airstrip.
There's water around my house, and then the kids are on the other end of the runway. They have a trailer house, and they had water up to the first step.
The Delta River is running high due to greater than normal rainfall combined with melt-off from last winter's heavy snowpack and from the eastern Alaska Range's glaciers. The runoff swollen river cut a new channel to the east of the riverbed near Big Delta and into an area that a state transportation department official says is prone to flooding.
It eroded through his banks there and now it's kind of reestablished a channel there that may have been, you know, present historically.
Jason Sakalaskas is chief of DOT's Northern Region office in Fairbanks, and he says that stretch of the Old Rich and several others were built decades ago along riverbanks because they're relatively flat and easy to build on. Sakalaskas says the department's now bringing in rock and other fill material to rebuild a washed-out road just south of the flooded area that had served as a dike to deflect the flow of water away from the new channel.
Doing that will, in theory, shut off some of the water flowing across Spangler Road.
Sakalaskas says if that works and the rain slacks off and upper elevation melt-off slows, the river level should drop enough to allow DOT to evaluate damage to the roadway and fix it. Carpenter says he, too, plans to wait till then to get back onto his property.
And I don't really see that happening for another month or two.
In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
Tuesday night's 7.8 Gulf of Alaska earthquake did not generate much of a tsunami, but KUCB reports that the nearby Aleutian Islands community of Sand Point did see damage to the road to its harbor and 2 docks caused by earthshaking.
We have 2 docks total, and they are both closed effective immediately until we can get inspection to verify the extent of the damage, if any, to both the new dock and the old dock.
City Administrator Jordan Keeler says a dock warehouse cement floor sank and cracked. He says it will have to be inspected by an engineer. And in the meantime, closing down the docks could cancel freight shipments, including of fresh food for the remote fishing community of 1,000 people. Sand Point received a tsunami warning late Tuesday night, and people evacuated to higher ground, but the wave turned out to be less than a foot tall. And Dan Bross.